are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Monday edition, another victory Monday as the 49ers run their record to a perfect 7-0 after a dominating 51-13 win over the Carolina Panthers. I'll get into that game, the game notes, give out some game balls. A whole lot of good, maybe just a tiny bit of bad to take away from week 8, but the 49ers just continue to answer all the questions. And every time a team on the schedule, you think, okay, this is going to be the team that really, you know, shows the 49ers aren't as good as their record says they are. No, the 49ers are good. The 49ers are legit. Enough of those questions. How legit are they? We'll find out. There's still some very good opponents on the 49ers schedule right now, but when you watch that defense play, there's no doubt. The 49ers are for real, and they could potentially be better as they get some more guys that are hurt back. Emmanuel Sanders continues to get incorporated into the offense, so the sky's the limit for this 49ers team right now. They are for real, and they can go far in the 2019 season. I am convinced of that. Enough with the, they haven't played anybody yet. Enough with the, but wait until they play blank. It doesn't matter. The 49ers can hang with any of the blanks you want to throw at them. Their 7-0 record, I think, accurately depicts how the team is playing right now, and they can get even better. Let's get into it. First, just a little note on the weather, the wind event that was happening at Levi's Stadium and throughout California. I was on the premises at Levi's Stadium, and it was gusty. The hat literally was blown off my head at one point. Thank you to the people behind me who retrieved it, and it might have been gone forever. It was that close, and in different places, depending on where you were, the wind felt differently, but it was definitely affecting some throws and some kicks in that game. So last week it was the monsoon in Washington. This week it was a wind event, so another, I think, just added to a level of funkiness for especially the Carolina offense. For some reason, it looked like it affected Kyle Allen's throws a lot more than Jimmy Garoppolo's, although Garoppolo didn't have to chuck it a ton in this game. The 49ers offense and defense clicking early. I mean, they just were pretty much checking off all of my keys to victory from Friday's show one by one. From the opening drive, it ended with a Jimmy Garoppolo touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders, and they would just lead this one wire to wire. Let's start with Jimmy Garoppolo. Only 4 incomplete passes on the day. 18 of 22, 175 yards passing, 2 touchdown passes, but the 1 interception. That's the throw you want back if you're Jimmy Garoppolo in this game. The first quarter interception, not great. Luke Kuechly jumped in front of Kittle to pick that off. Panthers ended up settling for a field goal after the turnover, and the Panthers really wouldn't have very many chances to score, period, after that. That touchdown pass, though, to Emmanuel Sanders. Immediate dividends from Emmanuel Sanders. Lined up in the slot quite a bit, catching everything. I love the dig route going down to get the ball later in the game. Sanders will be targeted heavily in this offense. He's got hands and he can get open, and I think he's going to be a huge chain mover for the 49ers going forward, and we saw him as a red zone guy, showing quickness, that route running ability. You saw it right away on that touchdown, reminiscent of the Dante Pettis game winner a few weeks earlier. Lined up inside, 3 wide receivers to the left. Shakes defender with a little instep before making the outbreak. Dart from Jimmy Garoppolo, and boom, there's your first touchdown of the game. 49ers not looking back. We got to give props to Tevin Coleman. I've talked about how I thought Tevin Coleman wasn't the best running back on the roster. He was the best running back today for the 49ers. 11 carries for 105 yards, 3 scores on the ground, another touchdown reception. And just absolutely roasting Trey Boston numerous occasions. You know the saying, when he's even, he's leaving? That was Tevin Coleman Sunday. Just blowing by the secondary once he did get past the front 7, which happened often. Breida had a couple of nice runs. Mostert also took one to the house, blowing through the secondary. Breida did leave the game with an ankle injury late in the first half, so that's unfortunate. He dealt with an ankle injury all of last year. You hope that doesn't happen again. And, you hope Breida isn't just banged up the rest of the year or anything like that. Jeff Wilson also left the game with a head injury, so concussion protocol likely for Jeff Wilson, but he did walk off the field under his own power and everything, so hopefully it's not super serious there. But the 49ers did lose a couple running backs getting banged up in that game. 232 yards total on the ground as a team for the 49ers, but it was Coleman who had his best day as a Niner so far. It was the 48-yarder at the end of the first half. That was the knockout blow. Coleman hit the cutback lane and boom, just gone. Just blew the doors off the Carolina secondary. And if you're talking about Coleman and you're talking about the running game, you've got to bring up Kyle Shanahan. Dialing up beautiful runs. And as much as Coleman was blowing by guys in the open field, Kyle Shanahan and the offensive line was the reason Coleman was getting to the second level so often. The Deebo Samuel touchdown run, I think, was my favorite. Showing all the motions and jet motions, ghost, orbit motions. You name it, it seemed like nearly every run play there was motion involved and some sort of option that had to keep the defense honest, looking like, okay, it could go here. And it was confusing the Carolina Panthers linebackers and their defensive line. There was a play where I think it was Gerald McCoy was just standing there unblocked, and he's like, I don't really know what to do right now, as I think it was Tevin Coleman's running by him. All those motions, you're like, okay, when are they going to give it to the wide receiver? And they did a couple times, but then there was the one with Deebo Samuel that I loved, and mostly it was window dressing with those jet motions, and they were handing the ball to the running backs, but they did give it to the wide receiver this time, and it wasn't the first guy coming around. It wasn't that motion receiver. It was Deebo, who was not the motion receiver. Emmanuel Sanders in motion to the right, Coleman's coming the other way to the left, and then Deebo gets the inside handoff from a tight split. He's coming from the left side as Coleman's coming the other way behind him. Inside handoff goes for a touchdown. Just beautiful. And all day Shanahan had the Patriots front seven all discombobulated. Speaking of front sevens, we've got to dive into the 49ers front seven. These dudes are playing out of their minds right now. More on that. More on some notes from McCaffrey and what the 49ers did to Kyle Allen. And of course, give out some game balls. This episode is brought to you in part by Roman. The folks at Roman, a men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes. The secret to lasting longer in the bedroom. Get $10 off your first order of Swipes and free two-day shipping at GetRoman.com/LockedOnNFL. All right, this is a good time to tell the fellas out there about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find him online at gregstaxservice.com. Kyle Allen comes into the game, 4-0 as a starter, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions thrown, and that all got turned on its head. Kyle Allen got a taste of the best defensive line in the NFL, and maybe the best defense, period, in the NFL. Maybe the best team in the NFL in the 49ers, right? What else the 49ers got to do? Anyway, Kyle Allen, 0 interceptions coming into the game, throws 3 picks. That's what pressure will do. I mean, the 49ers forced him into mistakes, and they were at the end of the game, they couldn't even drop back and throw, really. They were just trying to throw screens here and there, and they were still running the ball with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they weren't going to be able to come back in that game handing the ball off to Christian McCaffrey when you're down multiple scores like that. The wind reared its ugly head, and there was definitely a gust that knocked down a Kyle Allen pass early in the game, though. I think it was the first quarter. And it looked like an arm punt, and I was thinking that was one of the ugliest throws I've ever seen because they had a guy. He had a guy deep on a post route. I think it was DJ Moore who was behind Ward. And it was a good decision. Kyle Allen saw it, dropped back to throw, let it fire, and that thing just died and flopped like a dead duck out of the air, well off target. And then I realized, oh man, that was the wind. It had to hit like a wall of wind or something because that was a huge missed opportunity for Carolina and that offense when they were still in the game. They had a chance to be in that game. They tried the same play later in the second half, but the 49ers had it covered well. I think it was Kwaski Tart that was deep middle on that one. So the 49ers got away with one. I don't know if it would have been on target if not for the wind, but I think the wind definitely had something to do with that because it looked like an arm punt down the middle of the field that dropped nowhere near where the receiver was going to be. The Emmanuel Mosley interception. Jumps the curl route. Great play by Mosley there, trusting his eyes and his homework, recognizing something there with the route combination, flat curl combination, and Mosley, recognition, anticipation, finishing the play, jumps it, and there has been zero drop-off from Akello Witherspoon with Emmanuel Mosley. It's been pretty amazing. It's crazy to think he's actually played better than Witherspoon, maybe. I mean, that's a fair question, right? I mean, Spoon will definitely get a starting job back, but there's definitely no need to rush him back if he's not 100% with the way Mosley is playing right now. And if you wanted to argue that Mosley's even playing better than Witherspoon was, who was already playing really good, I'll buy that argument. That's pretty crazy that we're talking about that right now in week 8. But back to Kyle Allen. He was frustrated. Sacked 7 times, picked off 3 times. He wasn't seeing ghosts as Sam Darnold was famously Monday Night Football last week. He was seeing real 49ers. There were no ghosts. It was actual goblins in his face all game. And at one point, frustrated by the pass rush and the wind, he was trying to kick a napkin that was flying around. It was comical, actually. This napkin was almost like taunting him as it floated out of the stands in the wind to right about where he was going to be dropping back. So he gets out of the huddle, kicks the napkin to try to get it out of the way. They run a play. They actually get a first down. I think they gain a few yards. And then the napkin just sort of floats forward right back to where he was going to be in the next play. And it was just kind of in his way. He tries kicking it another time. I just thought it was hilarious because everything was bothering him, including a napkin that was just taunting him and wanted to hang out right where he was supposed to be dropping back. But yeah, that gusty, it was gusting pretty good. I mentioned it took the hat off my head at one point. There was a couple of kicks that floated very weird. It definitely seemed to be affecting things going in one direction more than the other. So the wind played a role. Didn't affect the game as much as the rain did last week, but I think it just made things a little bit more difficult for a team that needed to try to come back and throw the ball a bunch. It wasn't going to be happening downfield, I don't think, in that game with the gusty winds. On the subject of nicknames. I don't like nicknames getting forced onto things or people. And I've been asked a lot about the 49ers defense. What's the nickname for the 49ers defense? I think one of the more common ones I've seen is Sac Francisco, which is good. It's fine. And very accurate for what's going on right now with that 49ers defense. Gold Rush is what the cheerleaders are called. So I've seen people try to call it the Gold Rush. You know, I get it, pass rush, but no, it's already taken. And it's just too easy. Gold Rush is what the cheerleaders are called. That's taken. The 49ers defense needs a different name. I think right now the leader in the clubhouse would be Sac Francisco. But I don't know. Let's just let it play out. Maybe something else will come up more organically. I do like the Hot Boys nickname, though, for the linebackers that I think it was Quan Alexander that came up with that one. I like that. For some reason, it makes me laugh. Yes, that 49ers defense, they are sack artists this year. Wow, what a difference a year makes. Nick Bosa is just ridiculous. 3 sacks and an interception. Showing moves in the open field, returning the pick, almost houses it. I mean, he's everywhere. Nonstop, that dude. Eric Armstead, career year. 2 more sacks, giving him, I think, 5.5 now for the season. He's creating problems for offenses, not just sacks. I mean, and Nick Bosa is the same way. All those guys are the same way. It's not just pure sack totals. And those numbers are looking really good right now for the 49ers. I mean, they might have 4 guys that get 10 sacks this year, which is crazy. Their tackles for loss, they're just taking on blocks. They're controlling their linemen. They're just making life difficult for the offenses in front of them. It's not just all about pure sacks, even though the sacks are now coming as well. DJ Jones getting involved, showing he's an athlete. I love seeing that one, chasing down Kyle Allen. I had to double check. I was like, I'm pretty sure it says 93, but that didn't look like a 300-plus pound defensive tackle right there chasing down Kyle Allen for a sack. And then Ronald Blair notching the team's 7th and final sack of the day in the fourth quarter. Sac Francisco? I don't know. It's fitting, but let's not try too hard. Let's not try too hard to force it. So looking at that 49ers defense versus Panthers offense, we got to talk Christian McCaffrey. He had a nice game, actually. One of the few, or maybe the only bright spot in that game for the Panthers. He had a long run called back in the first half. A couple other 40-yarders. 14 carries for 117 yards and a touchdown. The only touchdown on the day for the Panthers. Over 8 yards per carry. He's good. He's really good. They just couldn't keep handing off to McCaffrey and get back in the game, down multiple scores. And the 49ers, it was kind of like, well, go ahead. I mean, keep running it with McCaffrey. Let's shorten this game up and get out of here. And Carolina could not let Allen drop back all day and get killed. So they were basically screwed. They were screwed. It was like, okay, screen pass here, run. Maybe we'll try to throw something and then punt. That's basically what the case has been for most teams that have played the 49ers this year. They've just been screwed. Because the 49ers pass rush is stupid and it creates such an advantage for that team. And that's why I believe in the 49ers right now from what I've seen, because their defense is outrageous and they're playing so good and they can hassle any opposing quarterback. And if you make life that difficult for an opposing quarterback, you are in very good shape in any game against any team. McCaffrey, though, even getting frustrated late in that game. Started to show. He and Fred Warner exchanging some pleasantries. Tangled up with Jimmy Ward on the sideline after another play. And he was still fighting. He was still playing hard. But frustrating, I'm sure, for him, you know, when you're losing 51-13. And you're playing well. What else can you do? So a lot of good in this game for the 49ers. A little bit of bad. The interception being the worst of it, I think. You know, the safety not ideal there when the 49ers got backed up. Speaking of getting backed up, Mitch Wishnowsky, special teams. I guess let's talk a little bit about special teams before we get to these game balls. I do want to talk about the wide receiver usage as well, but that hit on the kick return from Mitch Wishnowsky, getting the personal foul, which was pretty much a BS flag, but nobody in the stands had a problem with that penalty. No problem with Wishnowsky getting a penalty. They had a problem with it being called and being flagged, and I bet Wishnowsky's teammates had no problem with him getting a penalty on that hit. And look, that hit, he was trying to lead with the shoulder, and it was actually the crown of the running back's helmet that hit the side of Wishnowsky's helmet. I don't think he should have gotten flagged for that, and I don't think he'll get fined for it. I think it was a nice attempt. even if it turned out awkward on the sideline. But I like the occasional Mitch Wishnowsky crushing blow. I think it's just an added, you know, when your defense is dominating a team and then they can't even like get by your punter without getting clobbered. It's a nice little element. It's just fun to have, you know, an interesting player like Wishnowsky, even though I think he was overdrafted still, that he could lay a lick on somebody. I love it. Wishnowsky tried to make a play on a bad Kyle Nelson snap. I guess we got to talk Kyle Nelson. We're not done talking long snappers. The 49ers on their fourth long snapper and still having problems. He tried to make a play on a bad Kyle Nelson snap on the PAT after that long Tevin Coleman touchdown run. But there was no one to throw to. I kind of liked it. He got up quick and didn't seem flustered. Was rolling out, looking down the field. There was nowhere to run for him, and there was nobody out there for him to throw to, so there was just no shot. And Kyle Nelson was supposed to be the guy who solidified this long snapping situation. And there was another funky snap on a Wishnowsky punt, too. So we got to tighten that up. Wishnowsky angled a punt out at the 3-yard line. Laid a nice lick on somebody. The personal foul penalty not hurting the Niners. So, yeah, it's fun. Robbie Gould made all the kicks he had a chance at. But, yeah, let's tighten up this long snapping situation. Wishnowsky hopefully continues to get better as a holder. Then that will make Robbie Gould better. In those tight games, when the 49ers do play some tight games, and they will, you need everything to just be lined up and bang, 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 and smooth for Robbie Gould as they had been in the past. Need to get back to that level. Help the guy out a little bit. All right, let's give out some game balls. I think there's some easy ones this week. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. Man, it really feels like Trent Taylor lost his job. And what I mean by that is Emmanuel Sanders looks dynamic out of the slot. And if Trent Taylor was on the roster this week and came back from IR, I don't know that I'd rather have Trent Taylor in the slot than Emmanuel Sanders there. We saw in the red zone, we saw a couple other plays. I just think that he's going to carve out that role, and maybe Trent Taylor wouldn't come back this year anyway, so it's not going to matter. Right now, I think that's the guy when they go three wide, Emmanuel Sanders. And even when they don't, you know, he can be that Z receiver, so he can be the guy that moves around a little bit, and you know, you can still run him out of the slot with, you know, two wide receivers on one side. You can do a lot with George Kittle there and move guys around in different formations. But it seems like Emmanuel Sanders is that guy now, and maybe even makes Trent Taylor a little redundant in some cases, because I think you have Debo with a little bit more size and physicality on the outside, and I just don't know what's going on with Dante Pettis and Goodwin either with his personal stuff that kept him out of this game. And actually, it was Kendrick Bourne getting the start at X spot for Goodwin, which is kind of surprising. But the wide receiver usage just together, altogether, has just been kind of weird. And it just feels like, and was it 7 different receivers catching balls for the 49ers in this one? Kittle, 6 catches for 86 yards on National Tight End Day. By the way, National Tight End Day, you can get your National Tight End Day shirt featuring George Kittle, or the People's Tight End shirt or hoodie. Just go to BreakingT.com/LockedOn, and those shirts officially licensed by George Kittle himself. So pick yourself up one of those shirts, buy a Christmas present for one of your loved ones or something like that. But really cool shirts, and there's tons of other designs on Breaking Tea. They've got some really good ones, and have worked with some of our hosts to have some shirt ideas, a bunch of Gardner Minshew ones. If you have any friends that are Jags fans, Danny Dimes. People are excited about Daniel Jones in New York, as they should be when you get your young franchise signal caller. Or you hope that you have your young franchise signal caller. But yeah, National Tight End Day shirt, BreakingT.com/LockedOn. George Kittle bobblehead day too. Life is good for George Kittle right now, isn't it? Emmanuel Sanders, 4 catches for 25 yards, and that score. Deebo Samuel had 3 catches for 19. Breida, Coleman getting a little bit of work out of the backfield. Kendrick Bourne had 1 catch for 12 yards, even though he was on the field a lot. And Dante Pettis, 1 catch for 5 yards, targeted 3 times. But for how much Kendrick Bourne's on the field, only 1 target? Deebo Samuel only targeted 3 times. I feel like Shanahan's throwing wide receivers at the wall, seeing what'll stick, and he's not letting one guy play a lot and get those reps in and become something. I would love to see it just be Sanders and Deebo. I mean, I just think that's the way to do it. I think it's the way it's going to end up. But you got Bourne taking a bunch of snaps, and I like Bourne, but it's like 1 catch for 12 yards. Put the guy out there and use him, or don't put him out there. You know, I don't know. It's still a little bit frustrating and weird, and it seems odd that in week 8, Kyle Shanahan's still trying to figure out how and who he wants to use, or maybe he specifically wants only to use guys in different situations, and I don't know if that's great for the development of those guys. I don't know. The team's winning, so it doesn't matter, but the wide receiver usage just still seems a little bit weird. And I don't know, Richie James. I think Richie James deserves some snaps if you're just going to throw snaps at everybody. I'd like to see a little bit more Richie James. And by the way, there is those Dante Pettis trade rumors. I think it was Adam Kaplan, an NFL insider, that said he wouldn't be surprised if Dante Pettis would get moved. And teams have been calling or asking about Pettis when they've had conversations with the 49ers. I don't think the 49ers want to trade Dante Pettis, but it's an interesting idea. Apparently, Adam Schefter is saying the teams have been calling about C.J. Beathard. And if that's the case, I still don't see how C.J. Beathard's on the team taking up that roster spot because he's not active and not playing. Nick Mullins getting a couple snaps in this game, by the way. Let's give out some game balls, though. And I think there are easy game balls to give out. 51-13. Two guys stand out above all the rest. Tevin Coleman, you got to give him his props for his 4-touchdown performance, nearly 10 yards per carry. He ran through an exhausted Luke Kuechly on his last touchdown, which was kind of impressive. And impressive for multiple reasons, on team level for the 49ers and for him being physical. You know, showing off a bunch of speed earlier in the game, then capping it off with that tough goal line run there for his 4th score. And the 49ers just beating the Panthers mentally and physically. And you could really see it on that play with Luke Kuechly. He was just kind of done. And really, above all, I just hope all my listeners out there didn't have Tevin Coleman on their fantasy bench this week for that 4-touchdown performance. Honorable mention to Kyle Shanahan for drawing up the plays and designing the offense that put up 51 points. Honorable mention to the offensive line that helped create some of those gaps for Tevin Coleman and company to run through in this game. But Tevin Coleman getting the game ball there, and the 2nd and final game ball has to go to the rookie defensive end, Nick Bosa. Burst, power, bend, hands, technique, a nonstop motor. I mean, that is the recipe for an elite edge rusher, and that's what Nick Bosa is already in the NFL. 3 sacks in this game. That gives him 7 on the year, depending on the outlet that you get your stats from. 7 sacks in 7 games now. The interception, what a play. Fights off a cut block, recognizes the screen, goes up to get the ball, then the run after catch, jukes Kyle Allen twice on that play. And there were people that didn't want the 49ers to draft Nick Bosa number 2 overall. I get it if you thought other prospects were also very good, or we're worried about Bosa's injury history or something like that. But there were people who thought Nick Bosa wasn't a good player. They watched him play and thought, nah, he's not much. Shaking my damn head about that. I mean, that's crazy talk. If you watched Nick Bosa, thought he wasn't good. And right now, Nick Bosa is the runaway rookie defensive player of the year, I think. And he has to be in the conversation now for just the straight-up defensive player of the year in the NFL. He's had some really big performances. It started on Monday Night Football, and that was sort of his, you know, national spotlight coming out party. But, you know, we saw him already for the 49ers from week one, playing extremely well. And he was a little bit limited to start the season with that ankle, now playing on an every snap basis and just dominating in this game. So he's got to be in the conversation for me for defensive player of the year right now, and is just far and away ahead for the rookie defensive player of the year award. So Nick Bosa, Tevin Coleman, game balls for week eight as the 49ers blow out the Panthers 51-13 and improve to a perfect 7-0. Now we've got a quick turnaround. Arizona Cardinals, Halloween night, Thursday night football. We'll get you all ready for that right here the rest of the week. Locked On 49ers.